from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive in the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, all you OGs, let's get it going. I know it's early on the OG schedule. 10 o'clock is a little early sometimes for OGs, but you should be up and at them. You've had your coffee, and you've got a phone, and we have 4 hours to talk about everything going on. And boy, is there a lot. There is a lot going on. I mentioned it last weekend. I said, you know, buckle up. I wasn't really kind of referring to Georgia football players, but in a way, that's something we're going to talk about too. Because when we got to this weekend, oh yeah, everything going to start. Okay. And because everything is going to start as of now, and we are loaded and packed in. It's football season. Ladies and gentlemen, do you understand it is football season as of today? Yeah. No, between now and Super Bowl Sunday, there won't be a day where there isn't an NFL player on a field doing his job. Because today, the very first rookies report to NFL camps. Now, it's only one team. It's the Baltimore Ravens. But their rookies report today. And it's just the Baltimore Ravens rookies. But here's a fact. They have rookies doing their job in an official camp in the NFL as of today. Now, I'm hoping, for the sake of these rookies, that whatever it's like in Baltimore today, and I'm probably not very wherever they have their camp, and I don't know, I haven't been to Baltimore in a long time. It was like pre-bridge explosion or something. Is that it's not going to be like it is here, because, you know, there's a really good thing about having a home studio, which I do have, and because of my condition, I can't, you know, make it down. I love being in the studio. I miss being in the studio at Colony Square. And one of the benefits of actually going to work is that you can't get distracted by things that are at home, right? And so right before the show, I had to do something at home. It involved trash, okay? So anyway, I have to go outside. And I went, oh, yeah, yeah. It's when I was in high school in the late 70s at Lithonia, I used to say, is it me or, you know, gosh, I'm so long ago now, 45, 47 years ago. Did it seem hotter back then than it does now? And I said, you know, it did. It seemed like first off, it snowed more. And secondly, it was hotter. What's happened? Oh, no. No, it's hot out. Oh, it's going to be what do they call it? Out in DeKalb County, we used to call it a bake. It's going to be a good old-fashioned bake today and tomorrow. It's going to be a bake. And so, yeah, all right, welcome to it. So we have football as of today, but we're not talking necessarily about the Baltimore Ravens rookies. I'm just pointing that out because the schedule is just loaded with news. And so over the next 4 hours, we have so much to talk. The Braves from last night, right? Of course, we got to talk about what happened with the Braves, and we'll get into all that. All-Star break is coming up, and we'll discuss all that. We have the Hawks. Did you see Risa versus Sarr? What did you think about that? Yeah, you're going to let your mind wander and dream a little bit. Yeah, we could do that too. Yeah, I'm sure we will. We got college football. I haven't actually had a chance since the sad Willick incident to really talk about this, but this ongoing issue at Georgia is a big deal because it's not going away. And day after tomorrow, or actually Tuesday, I should say, in Dallas, Kirby Smart's going to have to answer the questions. He's got to answer the questions. And I want to know from you Georgia fans, Do you think this is a big problem? It's something we're going to get into today as well. So a lot to talk about with kind of the NFL, and around the corner next week, you got the All-Star Game, you got the British Open, you got SEC Media Days, and we got a lot going on. The week after that, of course, we have the Olympics, you know, and we have full camp with the Atlanta Falcons training camp opening up 11 days away. So it's all ramping up right now, and it starts today. And you are always welcome, and if you're new to the show, it's a four-hour old-school talk show. I invite a lot of OGs in here because it's my chance to talk to people that have been around for a minute, or if you're a brand new fan. By the way, if you're a fan of any team, you're more than welcome. There are no real restrictions on what you could talk about. I'll offer things, and today I just kind of laid it out. I'm going to offer the Braves. I'm going to offer the Hawks. I'm going to offer a Georgia kind of college football thing. But if, for example, with SEC Media Days coming up, you want to talk about Auburn because there are questions about that, or Alabama or Tennessee or Florida or Ohio State, or Michigan or anything, you know, USC. If you want to talk about your team, you're welcome to. If you have an NFL team that you want to talk about, you're welcome to. Now, over the last, Thursday night, I opened it up, and again, whatever topics we were rolling with on Thursday night, I had a Giants fan, New York Giants fan, call in, and I also had a Steelers fan call in, and I didn't mind the fact that they were Giants fans and Steelers fans, except for the fact that they did two things. Number one, they hid who they were. Okay, if you are a fan of another team, just open. I had to drag it out of them. I'm like, okay, who do you root for when you come in and start slamming the Falcons? All right, you're obviously not a Falcons fan. Who do you root for? First one was a Steelers fan. Second one copped to being a Giants fan. Just be open about it, okay? Don't make me drag it out of you, okay? Just don't. If you're going to come in here and get bitter about another team, that's fine. For example, you will hear me throw shade to the Swampers down 85 a lot, okay? Because I am a Falcons fan, okay? Falcons fan. And so I admit it openly and publicly. I am a Braves fan. I am a Hawks fan, you know? So when I tell you my fandom right up front, and there's no doubt about it. You know, I mean, 50 years of these teams, no question about it. So just be open and honest about it. And we could disagree on things, just don't be disagreeable, because that was the other thing about having to drag it out of the Steelers fan and the Giants fan, is that they were both kind of being, well, their names weren't Richard, but you see where I'm going. So my point is that we can have a good discussion here about your team, and we could disagree. The Steelers fan is firmly convinced that he's going to win the AFC North. I'm like, yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. Just don't. I mean, it could, I guess. But I look at Baltimore and I think, you know, the Ravens might be the best team in the NFL, not the Chiefs, not the Niners. And then I go, you know, Cincinnati's got a healthy Joe Burrow. Yeah, that's going to be pretty good. So, but that's just kind of how I see things. But again, I could be wrong, right? I mean, we could all be wrong. I look at the NFC North and I go, yeah, I think the NFC South with Atlanta, Tampa, and Swampers, I actually think the NFC South is better than the NFC North. I know they got Detroit, but that's pretty much all they got. Green. I think the Packers are so overrated. I think the Packers are a team. They're a Midland team. I think they're like 9-win team. You know, Packers fans are just, they go, oh, are you out of your mind? We're winning 13. You know, Jordan Love is all blah, 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 blah. Okay, fine. Again, we disagree. Falcons beat you last year, would beat you again this year. The Falcons are a better team than the Packers, in my opinion. I look at it and go, yep, I think Falcons are a better team. But that's just my opinion, and I know that, you know, cheeseheads get all worked up, and they get mad, and blah, 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 blah. So we got a lot to talk about. Miss Noel is going to be manning she's the technical producer, the executive producer. What else are you? The call screener, I guess. That's a terrible name because it sounds like you work in a call center. Not that there's anything wrong working in a call center, but you do far more than that. Well, you got to deal with all the people up front, don't you?
Yeah, but they're usually nice to me. They usually want to take out their frustrations more on you than me, so.
Oh, okay. Good. Well, that's good, though. I mean, because that's what they pay me for.
Good conversation. Good radio, John. Good radio.
Okay, so I'm going to start with you, Noel, because I always like doing this to kind of incorporate our executive producers into the show and to let you know that they are in their own right, you know, not only sports fans, but, you know, sports media people as well here. So, Noel, is it okay for, I'll give you a couple of them. Is it okay for Atlanta Hawks fans to see what they saw from Zachary Risacher and to see what they saw from Juricic, is it, and to see all this kind of bubbling news about a potential of a Clint Capela trade, is it okay for them to look at their team and think, hey, you know, to whatever degree that it's going to work, it might actually work, that these young rookies are going to have a profound impact on the team and they might actually be pretty good? Because he looked pretty good.
Yeah, I don't think it's a wrong train of thought. I got excited watching Summer League yesterday, and not even just the two rookies. I think we found a two-way player as a guard that could be potentially nice to go with Kobe and to go with Trey. So I think we're starting to make decisions that make sense and work towards cohesion on the court, which is the most important part, right?
Right. You know, I mean, so again, if this is a reset here, I think what we're going to start seeing here, and again, I do believe the Hawks are going to attempt to make moves. We'll get into the Hawks a little bit later in the show. And that Quinn Snyder is finally in a position where he can put his imprint, really put his imprint on the team. I mean, he inherited a team, year before last in the final 20 games. He pretty much inherited the same team last year. They were a little bit strung out about how they could possibly make some moves around the edges. But now he's really been able to, with the trade of DeJounte Murray and the number one pick, really begin to kind of slide the team into a fashion that he wants it. So, and to watch these guys play yesterday, look, Alex Sarr looked really good too. He can shoot threes. He's a stretch five. He's a rim protector. I mean, you looked at him and go, yeah, you know, if he was the number one pick, we'd be pretty excited. But then you watch Risashay and his ability to attack the basket with either hand and shoot, stop and pop threes. And then you watch Juricic with his ability to shoot threes. And boy, that dude can pass. He's got, you know, he's got that a little bit of that flair in him, you know, and you're going, okay, all right, well, you know what? This is the reason they traded back in. They went, hey, that's a first round pick in Juricic, and they just missed on it. We got to get back in there. To AJ Griffin for this dude, just on one game in the summer league? Oh, yeah, they won that trade. They won that trade. Ah, one game. It's one game in the summer. John, slow your roll. All right, fine. Second thing is college football here. Because we got to get into this today a little bit because I need Georgia fans. Now, again, openly and honestly, so everybody understands, at one point in my career, I worked for the Georgia Tech radio network. That does not make me a Georgia hater. I just where I happened to start my career in 1979 as Noel's doing in a way. I was the board operator and the technical producer for Georgia Tech football and basketball back in the days of Al Seraldo. You OGs will remember this is all the way back, Pepper Rogers. This is even pre Bobby Kremins. So I mean, I go all the way back to Sammy Drummer, Tico Brown, and all those people. Okay, so anyway, that's just where I happened to begin. Right, Eddie Lee Ivory, all that kind of stuff. But it's just the job I had. I mean, I have no allegiance necessarily to any team. It just happened to be the job I had. And I always want to be transparent. I don't dislike Georgia. I don't dislike Georgia Tech. I kind of stand back and watch you guys fight. And it's like, okay, I got no dog, D-A-W-G, in your dog hunt here. Because I went to the University of Nebraska. My team hasn't been no good for a long time. Hopefully they get good. But I got no dog in your hunt here. So I just try to be as fair as I can be. And I'm going to be as fair as I can be, but we have to talk about it because with SEC Media Days upon us, it's important we do. Again, SEC Media Days start on Monday. Noel, you are a fan. Who is your number one college football or basketball program that you root for?
Let's see. I root for Michigan because I spent a lot of time on their campus, and I root for North Carolina because I never got a choice at birth. So, okay. Yay, Tar Heels.
All right. Okay. All right, so you are not, you know, we have Georgia fans here. You're not necessarily a Georgia fan. You're going to be kind of dispassionate towards this. You have no axe to grind.
I'm on the outside of it as far as, you know, I like college football, but I'm on the outside of the rest of it.
Right. Yeah, because we got a lot of Florida fans at work here. I mean, seriously, hardcore. Squid's a hardcore Florida fan, and Abe's a hardcore Florida fan. And I'm not saying the Florida fans, just because they're hardcore, don't have a right to criticize what's going on at UGA. I'm just saying that sometimes fans look at that, UGA fans, and go, well, you know, it's like if you're a Saints fan and you're coming at me as a Falcons fan, right? As opposed to being, say, a Broncos fan, and I've got a good friend of mine named Nick Ferguson, who you Tech fans will know, who's a sports talk guru out there in Denver now. That's where he played pro ball. And he and I talk, and I know you because he's a Tech guy. When he shades Georgia, it's always with a grain of salt. You know what I mean? And so, but I think we got to start asking the questions because I'm going to tell you right now, Noel, on Tuesday, when Kirby takes the podium, there are going to be reporters who say to him, "Coach, what the hell is going on in Athens that you cannot control your guys? There's a lack of control."
Yeah, I've been waiting for him to actually answer these questions, because I felt like this last year that the things with Georgia are kind of behavioral, are kind of getting out of hand and too frequent, and here we are again.
And here we are again. And it's a legitimate question, and I expect Georgia fans to say, yeah, kind of, Coach, what's going on here? Because if it were one off or two off or three, it's like a 12 off or a 15 off. And it's not getting, and there were three more. I mean, come on, stop it. Three more this week. On Sports Radio 90.9 The Game, we'll open up the phone lines 447-260-929. Hawks, can you dare to dream? And Georgia fan, talk to me. Talk to me about what's going on in Athens, okay? And we'll get into the Braves as well. Got all the way till 2 o'clock here on a Saturday with John Fricke from the Northern Kia Studios on Sports Radio 90.9 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners. The road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster. Wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 99 The Game from the Northern Kia Studios on this hot Saturday. The largest part of the discussion today for you, and again, if you're just joining the program, 404-726-0929. This is an old school talk show. It is you and me. It is the reason I do the show. It's what I wanted to have happen. It's your chance to really come in. It's just the way this show works. It's sort of for all of you to be my guests. Occasionally, I will have a guest. Like, for example, tomorrow at 1 o'clock in the final hour of the program, I have my old buddy Harper LaBelle, who's going to be doing the Wade Ford Show with Joe Patrick and I for a pre-camp discussion for an hour from 1 to 2. But that's tomorrow. Otherwise, between now and 2 o'clock today and 10 and 1 o'clock tomorrow, over the next 7 hours, it's just you and I. Today, again, I'll throw out focus points, and then if you want to talk about something else, we can. SEC Media Days start Monday in Dallas, and we'll get into some of the storylines for those. And you can talk, because there's storylines, and it's not just this Georgia storyline. There's storylines about Florida and about Alabama and about, you know, Vanderbilt and South Carolina and Arkansas and Texas and Oklahoma. I mean, storylines about literally every team. So if you're a fan of one of those teams, you're welcome to call in and talk to me about your team at 404-726-0929. The Hawks, open summer league, and it was Sarr versus Risa Shea. Both looked like they were worthy of the 1 and 2 picks. And it wouldn't have been, you couldn't have gone either way with them, because Sarr was a rim protector, and that's something that the Hawks have needed. But boy, Risa Shea looked explosive. He looked like a, boy, you can, I'll tell you this much, if you allow yourself to dream a little bit and say, you know, is Risa Shea going to be, you know, potentially, I mean, both hands exploding to the basket. I mean, whew, if Jalen Johnson goes up in value here this year in year three, and Trae Young is allowed to be kind of let loose, the top triangle of Trae Young with Jalen on one side and Zach Attack on the other, Risa Shea on the other, that's pretty good. That could be pretty darn good. And if they're about to trade Clint Capela away, and there's all sorts of rumors about Clint and Larry Nance Jr. being combined into a pickup of somebody else out there in terms of elevating your you know, defensive posture down in the low post, okay. You know, I mean, look, it's all right for the Atlanta Hawks to start to dream about maybe this will work and at least be fun to watch this year. I'm not sitting here telling him blow smoke up your skirt about it being anything more than fun to watch, but, you know, what's fun to watch? I mean, above play-in, you know, make a run at number 6. Could that happen? I mean, if you let yourself dream that those three are going to be so tough to handle, because what do we always say? It's always you got to have three, right? And you don't necessarily have to have a full-fledged five to win an NBA world title. You can win it with, you know, a guy, right? I mean, down there. You don't have to have Shaq. It's nice to have Shaq. You don't have to have Shaq. 404-726-0929. Of course, we're also talking about Georgia and what's going on up in Athens, because I am shaking my head. I really am. And I need to hear from Georgia fans, because I want to know if this is a major problem because it continues to go on and on and on and on, or if you're like, just, you know, hey, psst, you know, we'll be fine. We're the number one team in the nation. We're so good. It doesn't matter. Which is fine if you have that opinion. Let's go to Caleb. He's first up here. Hey, Caleb, welcome to the show.
What's going on, John?
How you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. First thing, I just want to ask you, do you have a nephew or anything that plays football at Northgate High School?
No, I do not. Is there another Fricky role?
Okay, well,
you know what? It could, I don't know. I mean, who knows? With all the girlfriends I had, maybe I don't. No, I'm just kidding. No, I don't. There were two guys named Fricky in the NFL. That played in the NFL with my same name, Fricke. Ben Fricky, who was a center for the Cowboys, and Rusty Fricky, who was a place kicker for the Eagles. And I used to get that all the time. Hey, are you related? No, I'm not related. I mean, it's an uncommon name, but it's not a soup. I mean, there's actually another John Fricky out there who's like this dude who wrote all. Get this, Caleb. He wrote all these Wizard of Oz books. He's like the world's leading expert on, of all things, the Wizard of Oz. And so I would get notes at CNN. Hey, can you come on and talk about the Wizard? No, I'm not. That's not me. I've seen the movie a couple of times.
Yeah, it's a lot of freaky running around, Caleb? At noon, and I was just trying to see if you were related.
Like I said, I was in them streets, you know, in the 80s at Caleb. That's all I can say.
All right, I really wanted to just talk about the Hawks, but I heard you talking about Georgia. I just want to say something real quick about that. I feel like the problem is, you know, when they started these NILs, I feel like the problem is they're paying these players, man. These players getting all this financial freedom in college, running around doing whatever they want. You know, these kids are real reckless nowadays. You know, you see the music they be listening to. It's murder music, driving fast cars, committing crimes, drugs. Did the kids go to church? You know, who do they really answer to? You know, I'm afraid that they'll never be able to, like, keep them in line at this point. I mean, you could denounce it all you want. Let me just stop you right there.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, I mean, look, Caleb, far be it from me. I don't want to be a hypocrite here, because I know of the things I did when I was at Lithonia High, at DeKalb College, even in my beginning years at CNN. We're talking 77 to like 1981. Was I, you know, 17 to 21, a little bit out of, yeah, over my skis as a young man in this town? Yeah, okay, sure. You know, I did dumb, reckless things at times, you know, before I grew out of it. So I don't want to be pointing fingers in that regard. But at the same time, I wasn't part of a team in jeopardizing team. Now, and especially, I wasn't part of a team that had suffered the way Georgia suffered when, you know, Devin Willock and Chandler LaCroix died in that wreck the night of the celebration. That should have been the stop-down moment where the clamps went down. And instead, we've had, you know, incident after incident after incident, right? We've had three this week. You know, this is why with SEC Media Day is coming up. It's not enough anymore for Kirby Smart, who I have great respect for, Georgia fan, great respect. He's a great coach, a great recruiter. He's a really good man. He's represents your university. He's got a flaw. He's got a hole in his game, okay, in his swing, and he's got to fix it. He's got to lock this down somehow. And you lock it down by saying, look, you're suspended for this many games if you do this. You're off the team if you do this. And he's just going to have to be that. He's got to do. I don't know that they don't do that, but I haven't seen people get kicked off the team too much. You got to lock this down. I mean, I know they've had meetings. I understand that. But, Caleb, they've got to get a hold of this.
Yeah, they got to. Something has to happen, man. But you got to understand what you're dealing with. These aren't adults. These are kids. These are kids. Do they really care that somebody passed away? You know, you give them so much money, you know, that
apparently
can take
not.
The pain. You know, yeah, do they care? So that's just what I think about Georgia. But as for the Hawks, go ahead. You had something to say?
No. We got give me a quick Hawks point. I got loaded lines here. I'm sorry. Go ahead about the Hawks.
Man. I was so excited last night looking at Reese-Tay, man. I saw so much. He was showing so much. Like, you see when he did the flashy behind the back pass, you know, he just looked so good, you know. But I want to say this. I think I'm glad Sarr didn't work out for us because he looked sorry. Capella, you know, I'm thinking about how would he be on the floor with Reese-Tay and Trey. Reese-Tay, he was cutting real good last night, but the guys on the summer league team, they can't pass at all. How would that work with Clint Capella? You know, Clint is just a block in the paint. I wanted him to get traded before free agency was over with. You know, I feel like guy can replace him. You know, we can spread that floor out. We get some type of floor space, and I feel like Reese-Tay can really make a good run at Rookie of the Year. But as long as Capella is down there in the floor, just blocking and clogging everything up, he can't make a layup. Like, I don't understand why he's still on this team outside of rebounding, but you can pretty much get that out of
anybody. I know that they're trying to we've got stories about this, about the fact that they aren't done. Thanks, Caleb. Do appreciate it. Let's get to and we'll get more into the discussion. I've got more on the Hawks. I've got more on this Georgia thing here. And, of course, we can always talk about the Braves as well, because – and I know that'll be part of the discussion tomorrow. A lot of Braves and Falcons talk tomorrow on the show. Today, I really kind of want to react to what we saw in the Summer League in this big story because of SEC Media Days about Georgia. But you're welcome to jump in on the Braves, who play again this evening with Lopez on the mound after that big win last night. And we say big win, we'll tell you why. Hey, Mel, our old buddy Mel. Mel, what is up?
Won't be long, John.
Nope.
You'll see what I look like, and I'll see what you look like. But you know what?
Well, you can see what I look like. I'm all over
YouTube. I know what you look like, John. I almost look like... I know what you look like. A white-skinned man, and I'm a brown-skinned man.
Yeah, good-looking guy.
We know what you look like.
Yeah, but I'm a good-looking guy.
But, look, you know, you got a lot of good topics today. My topic about Georgia. Look, John. Like the caller was saying, the playing these players now, and they're getting these new cars and so forth. You know, what can you do? What can the coach do, man? He can't stop it. He can penalize them. But, you know what I mean? But he can't stop it, John, now. Because, like I said, they're getting money now. And it's going to be hard. Buying these cars. What to do in Georgia? What to do in Athens? You know, Athens not like the big city, like Atlanta. You know what I mean? So, the guys, you know, they got to get out and drive them new cars and so forth. I know they got to be careful, John. I understand what you're saying about something got to be done. But penalize them. That's the only thing he can do. He can penalize them. Don't let them play for four or five
games. No, I don't know what he can do either. I'm not arguing.
I don't know what he can do, John, now. But, you know, just penalize them. You know what I mean? As long as they don't kill nobody like all the others that you know, been around Athens. But there ain't nothing to do down there in Athens. That's one of the problems. Plus, they got money in the pocket. But let me get to my other part.
Stop. Hey, Mel, stop. Again, the way the show works, and Mel knows this, don't hit me with multiple topics. Hit me with one. Let's talk about it. And if you got a second, I can sometimes go to you on a second, okay?
Okay. Well, I have a second topic about the Hawks.
Okay, that's fine. But to Georgia here, I just want to make kind of two things kind of clear here to your points here. One is somebody could come in here and say, look, did you see the video of Texas? Because there's a video of the Texas Longhorns, and they're walking in with all of the Lamborghinis and the Maseratis and the Porsches and everything as you're walking into the athletic offices of all these cars of all these players, which is just insane. Hey, it's not just Georgia. Everybody's got this going on, which is true. Everybody does. The difference is there are two differences at Georgia. One, the spotlight is on Georgia because they're the number one team. And number two is that Georgia has the history going back to Devin Willick on the night of the championship and Chandler LaCroix on the night of the championship because of that fatal wreck, you know, that. So George is under a spotlight. You say that's not fair. I don't care if you think it's fair or not. I'm just telling you how it is. And because of that, they've got to get a hold of this, and it continues to go on, okay? And they've got to, because Kirby's going to be asked about it on Tuesday.
That's what what I was saying, John. That's what I was saying. You know, they really can't do the new Ireland, new car, like you're saying, what Texas and so forth. But, you know, he ain't nothing he can do but penalize them, man. That's all he can do. But let me get to the other point. I told you about Ricochet and the other draft. Look here.
Mm-hmm.
Trey better look behind the back because Ricochet can play guard, man. He can play. He can be just like Magic Johnson as a big guard. So might not be the worst. I don't have nothing against Trey, but Trey better be looking over his shoulder because he might be gone. And like I said, like my prediction, the Hawks will win 50 games this year. Ricochet is bad, and plus the other draft, they bad, man. And plus the NBA is getting young. It's getting younger. Mark my words.
No,
young.
I'm not going to argue. Can't argue your point because Mel, I don't know if you heard, you know, my show when I did 7 to 10. It was Wednesday night. The entire show was the Landry Fields. Did you heard Landry Fields, you know, answer the question about Trey this week? Did you hear that?
Yeah, I heard all that.
Okay. So, and for those of you who didn't hear it, maybe you know what I'll do here is I got to take a break.
Yeah,
here
play
now,
it again. Play it. Let them know.
Yeah, like we're gonna play it on the other side of the break.
Play God. He can play God. He can be a big God.
Appreciate it, Mel. I look forward to it. Football season underway today, in a manner of speaking, with the first rookies reporting. The rookies of the Baltimore Ravens report to camp today. So between now and Super Bowl Sunday, or the day after, so on Monday, there will be somebody working professionally in a live situation for the NFL. All right? Players are going to be there in some form or fashion. Even if their players are just showing up, put stuff in their lockers, they're at work as of today, which is pretty cool. All right, we're going to take a break, and we'll dig up this Landry. If you didn't hear it, I don't want to necessarily spend a whole lot of time on it because we beat it to death over the week, but I do want to play it for the benefit of the audience that didn't hear it in regards to what the Hawks might do moving forward, because it does tie in to what we saw with Reese Shea, what Mel was talking about in terms of you know, what the Hawks might do moving forward here this year, continuing in the offseason as well. So a couple of big topics. You're always welcome to jump in on the Braves, and we're talking about Georgia and trying to get a handle on what's going on up in Athens with all these arrests for reckless driving here, and the Hawks, and what you thought of the new guys. Next, as we continue on this Saturday on Sports Radio 90 on the Game. 90 on the Game from the Northern Kia Studios. A couple of big things that are kind of on the plate today. The first Summer League game was yesterday. Zachary Risacher, and for that matter, Nico Juricic showing out. Juricic showed me, boy, there were a couple of moments where he was like, okay, maybe we got something with these two guys, because that Juricic, he had some, yeah, he flashed as well, and boy, Risacher really looked like a number one pick. So did Alex Saar, by the way. Alex Saar looked pretty darn good, not going to lie here, that he looked like he was a serious rim protector, could shoot three, stretch five. I was like, if he had been our guy, we would have been going, hey, Saar looked pretty good yesterday. They both looked like they're, you know, the whole thing about this, and it'll be interesting, because we're basing it on one Summer League game, which, you know, it's like, the overreaction all of us are going to have, that you're going to have, because I know you're going to have it, to Michael Penix Jr. in the game against Miami, one way or the other. You're going to base it on one preseason game, and you're going to overreact one way or the other, because he's going to play the majority of the game, right? Okay, we all understand that. So there's an overreaction going on here. But one of the overreactions might be all this discussion about the fact that this is a sorry draft. I don't know. Maybe it's not. That's what I said. Maybe it's not as sorry as some of these, because it's really hard when you're talking about Saar and Risacher and Juricic and players like this who are foreign players who played in France or Serbia or Greece or Australia, as Saar did. When they're playing overseas, you know, it's one thing if you're talking about college players, because you have a pretty good idea of what the level of college athlete, you know, the competition they're playing against, you have a pretty good sense of it. When they're overseas, you don't really have a sense of it so much. I mean, you can see the athletic talent, but what's the competition level? You're not really sure, you know. So it's not as easy to evaluate when, in fact, these guys coming in are pretty darn good. And the European influence on the NBA is only going to grow and grow and grow and grow. I mean, we're to a point where the European NBA team is probably I dare say that broadly, are they better than the American-born NBA team? You got Jokic, you got Giannis, you got Luka. I mean, just start there. I mean, it's like, we got Wemby, we got, okay, those guys are pretty damn good, huh? Okay, you did find it? Okay. All right, so here's this, there was, we're looking it up here. We found the cut. I want to play this because I want to set it up, and then I'll get to you, Marcel. Here, just hang on. This is from this week. Landry Fields. I don't really want to spend a lot of time on this, but it's just to set up kind of where we are with the Hawks here. Landry was talking about the roster, and I want you to hear him what he doesn't say. Okay, in regards to Channel 2's Allison Mastrangelo called him, but talked about Trae Young, about Trae Young being on the team. It's not what he says, it's what he doesn't say after being asked about that. Here's this soundbite of Landry Fields talking about the Hawks roster for this year.
I think we're in a good spot, you know, in terms of who will be on the roster and who won't. You know, like that's a question for another day.
Is it fair to say, though, that Trae Young will be on this roster?
We have a lot of value in Trae. We really do. We have a lot of value in DeJounte. Like, but this is those moments where you have to make those hard decisions. So, you know, from there on, we'll continue to build. I think we're in a good spot.
Boy, oh boy. This is why we spent 3 hours talking about it on Wednesday night. It's pretty simple. Allison says, hey, what, Trae Young, and all you have to say is, yeah, Trae's leader of the team. He's not. I don't know why this is not a discussion. All right, so it'd be really interesting to see what Quinn Snyder does now that Trae's got kind of the point back to himself because DeJounte. That's not what he said. He said, "Well, we put a lot of value in Trae, like we do in DeJounte." You mean the guy that the value of the guy you just traded? And you know we got hard choices. What the hell's that mean? That was like not exact. Okay. He didn't say Trey's on the team, did he? She asked, is Trae safe? Is he going to be on this team? He gave no answer to that. He didn't say yes. It's not what he said. It's what he didn't say. He didn't say yes. Let's go to Marcello here. Marcello or Marcelo? Because it could go either way. Marcelo. Marcelo, welcome to the show.
Good morning, John. How are you doing today? Thank you for taking my call.
Good. Sure.
Hey, John, first I'd like to say I miss so much the morning show with John and Hugh. That was the best sports show on radio, and nothing will ever top that. So I just want to tell you how much I miss listening to you every morning.
Well, I appreciate that. Hugh's doing, I just update you, all of you, Hugh's doing very well. You may have heard him on Dukes and Bell, I think it was this week, and really well up in Philadelphia, and I'm glad that he's doing well. And so he's doing well, and all's good. All right, Marcel, what you got?
That is fantastic. Well, I'd just like to say I'm a big Atlanta fan all the way around. I love the Braves. I love the Falcons, you know, hoping that this year they'll do something better. I'm very disappointed with the Hawks every year around because they can't seem to get it together. The whole upper level there can't seem to get it together to put a team competitive enough for everybody else. But on and on, I just wanted to shout out to my Brazil. I'm a Brazilian guy, and how bad my Brazil team has been in soccer this past couple of years. It's so embarrassing. And I don't know if you're a big soccer fan, but I just like, wanted to shout out.
Marcelo, it was like, yeah, you go back to, it's like that World Cup loss to Germany where they get beat 112-0. That thing is just hung over them for a decade or more.
Oh, yeah, and it's gone downhill ever since. I think that the legacy of Neymar of just trying too much to show that he can do well, and the whole team has been following his path, and the entire team that's derailed. It's an embarrassment for the soccer of the caliber of Brazil has. So it's just embarrassing.
Yeah, well, I understand that, you know, it's been, and I appreciate it, Marcel. There's a lot of angst in Germany right now about the state of German soccer. And there's a lot of angst in the United States about the state of the American men's team. So, you know, I mean, these Brazil and Germany are, you know, they were in the World Cup. I mean, that was the World Cup final. And now those two teams are kind of chasing, and they're well behind it. They're seeing England and France and the Dutch and others pass them up. They're seeing Uruguay and Argentina, you know, in their own continent. I mean, Uruguay, Argentina, Colombia, Chile. I mean, they're like, well, what's going on here? All right, let's get back to the Hawks and UGA today, because I do want to get more into this UGA story here, because I want to hear from you UGA fans about what the heck is going on and how do you solve this. Hey, Keith, let's go to Keith on Sports Radio 99 The Game. Keith, what's up?
Actually, it's Chief, but we'll roll with it.
Hey, Chief.
What's going on, Chef? I want to talk about the Hawks. Yeah, I want to get to a little Olympic talk, too. But first of all, with the Hawks, I'm watching the Rookies last night. I was real impressed. I actually, when the Hawks made the trade with DeJounte, I gave Landry Fields a little credit, you know, because I could see what they were trying to do. I thought I could see what they were trying to do, trying to build around trade with a little defense and longer players. But with the comment he made, it made me feel like he's thinking about trading. I'm saying, as a Hawks fan, I don't think I can do it. I don't think I can put up with you trade another star away, because this city lacks stars as it is half the time. And then you want to trade the only star you have. I hope he's not going down that road. I really hope he's not going down that road. And
I want to talk, you know, and again, without having to spend, because I really don't want to get down that rabbit hole for 3 hours again today here. We'll see what the Hawks are going to do here. But I wondered kind of aloud on Wednesday night if it wasn't intentional, you know, in terms of not just being able to look right into the camera and looking and talking to the microphones and look at the media and the fans of Atlanta and say, Trae Young's on this team. Because it's pretty easy to say, right? I mean, it's pretty easy to just look at the mics and say, Trae's on the team. He's the leader of the team. I don't know. He's under contract for 2 more years. We can put that to rest. Let's move on. And when he doesn't say it, is it being heard, not necessarily by the media or the fans here in town, but is it intended, Chief, for the GMs around the league who all their antenna go up, Hawks are still interested in talking?
Yeah, that scares me, because, you know, you've been here as long as I have, and when they made that trade with Dominique years ago, that little bit of a bitter taste in my mouth. Man. But let me get to the Olympics right quick. I know you got calls.
The Dominique trade lived? Oh, you're talking about, I thought you were talking about when they got Dominique for John Drew. I was like, oh, no.
No.
Yeah,
well,
okay, I got you.
I got you, Chief.
I got it.
Clippers.
Yeah.
But the Olympics right quick. And I don't know if you've been keeping up, but, you know, this Olympic team, and I hear a lot of the people going, well, we can just, like we're just going to waltz in and win the gold medal. I don't think so. And I call a couple, you know, the morning show, this week, and I told them the same thing. I think this team that we have right now.
Stop for a second, Chief. Chief, are we talking about men's basketball, women's basketball, track and field? Yes. What are you talking about?
Men basketball.
Okay.
I think we got nothing wrong with LeBron and KD and Joel Embiid and all these players when they're on their teams, but they're older, and the rest of the world, they're not afraid anymore. They're just not afraid. These players from Europe.
Well, there's other teams that are pretty bloody good too. I mean, have you seen the? I don't know. You could, you know, Google this or DuckDuckGo it or whatever you do. Just don't Bing, because Bing's terrible. Chief, the Canadian men's roster. Go look at Canada's men's team that's going to the Olympics. You look at that and you go, hey, you know what? That's pretty bloody good. I mean, it's SGA and R.G. Barrett, and it goes on and on and on. You're going, oh wow, that's a pretty darn good team. And then you go to, you know, a Bogey. Of course, it's only two guys, but when you got Jokic and you got Bogey Bogdanovic, that's a shooter and a big, and you're going, you know what? They're going to be a problem because of Jokic and Bogey.
Yeah, I just think we're too old right now. I really think that team is too old, and they always hurt, like Embiid. He's always hurt. Something always wrong with KD. You see Kawhi Leonard bowed out. Then they bring in the other guy from Boston, which I never understand that move, because we need to get bigger, actually, because these European teams and these other teams, they're big. They're big and young.
Yeah, Giannis is in the Olympics. Yeah, man, I appreciate it, Chief. 404-726-0929. Yeah, and it'll be, I guess, interesting. I'll be perfectly frank, I probably won't watch the U.S. men's basketball team in the Olympics unless they're playing for the gold medal. Otherwise, and that's not a slam against anything. It's the same way with women's basketball, kind of the same way with soccer, same way with tennis, same way with golf. Anything I can kind of watch outside the Olympics. You know, the Dream Team was sort of different, you know, because it was the first time. But when I can watch basketball anytime. For me, the Olympics is swimming, track and field, gymnastics. It's all the, it's all those sports and less about the stuff I can watch all the time. So, I'll be much more interested in watching, you know, Simone Biles and watching, you know, the watching Sakari and the track and field athletes and watching Noah Lyles than I will be in watching LeBron. I can watch LeBron anytime I want. But that's just me, because that's kind of how I lock in on the Olympics. So when I'm on the Olympic channels, and you know, when I'm doing shows here, I'm probably going to have to look at highlights going, oh, yeah, the men's team play, what do they do? Unless they get beat badly or embarrassingly, I probably won't be locked in on the men's. I'm not going to be, oh, the men's team's on there playing. No, I don't. I mean, watching LeBron play against Giannis, I could do that anytime. So, and there's so much to watch at the Olympics, I tend to watch the other sports. That's just, I'm just being honest with you. All right, break at the top of the hour. When we get back, we'll reset this because the big things that are coming this week, the All-Star Game, SEC Media Days, and, of course, what's going to happen with the Atlanta Hawks? Because they're on the clock, too. Don't get lost in the Olympics on Sports Radio 92 on the Game. The game from the Northern Kia Studios. A couple of big things that are kind of on the plate today. The first Summer League game was yesterday. Zachary Risacher, and for that matter, Nico Juricic showing out. Juricic showed me, boy, there were a couple of moments where he was like, okay, maybe we got something with these two guys, because that Juricic, he had some, so yeah, he flashed as well, and boy, Risacher really looked like a number one pick. So did Alex Sarr, by the way. Alex Sarr looked pretty darn good, not going to lie here, that he looked like he was a serious rim protector, could shoot three, stretch five. I was like, if he had been our guy, we would have been going, hey, Sarr looked pretty good yesterday. They both looked like they're, you know, the whole thing about this, and it'll be interesting, because we're basing it on one summer league game, which, you know, it's like, the overreaction all of us are going to have, that you're going to have, because I know you're going to have it, to Michael Penix Jr. in the game against Miami, one way or the other. You're going to base it on one preseason game, and you're going to overreact one way or the other, because he's going to play the majority of the game, right? Okay, we all understand that. So there's an overreaction going on here. But one of the overreactions might be all this discussion about the fact that this is a sorry draft. I don't know. Maybe it's not. That's what I said. Maybe it's not as sorry as some of these, because it's really hard when you're talking about Sarr and Risacher and Juricic and players like this who are foreign players who played in France or Serbia or Greece or Australia as Sarr did. When they're playing overseas, you know, it's one thing if you're talking about college players, because you have a pretty good idea of what the level of college, you know, the competition they're playing against, you have a pretty good sense of it. When they're overseas, you don't really have a sense of it so much. I mean, you can see the athletic talent, but what's the competition level? You're not really sure, you know. So it's not as easy to evaluate when, in fact, these guys coming in are pretty darn good. And the European influence on the NBA is only going to grow and grow and grow and grow. I mean, we're to a point where the European NBA team is probably, I dare say that broadly, are they better than the American-born NBA team? You got Jokic, you got Giannis, you got Luka. I mean, just start there. I mean, it's like, we got Wemby, we got, okay, those guys are pretty damn good, huh? Okay, you did find it? Okay. All right, so here's this, there was, we're looking it up here. We found the cut. I want to play this because I want to set it up, and then I get to you, Marcelo. Here, just hang on. This is from this week. Landry Fields. I don't really want to spend a lot of time on this, but it's just to set up kind of where we are with the Hawks here. Landry was talking about the roster, and I want you to hear him what he doesn't say, okay, in regards to Channel 2's Allison Mastrangelo called him, but talked about Trae Young being on the team. It's not what he says, it's what he doesn't say after being asked about that. Here's this soundbite of Landry Fields talking about the Hawks roster for this year.
I think we're in a good spot. You know, in terms of who will be on the roster and who won't, you know, like that's a question for another day.
Is it fair to say, though, that Trae Young will be on this roster?
We have a lot of value in Trae. We really do. We have a lot of value in DeJounte. Like, but this is those moments where you have to make those hard decisions. So, you know, from there on, we'll continue to build. I think we're in a good spot.
Boy, oh, boy. This is why we spent 3 hours talking about it on Wednesday night. It's pretty simple. Allison says, hey, Trae Young, and all you have to say is, yeah, Trae's leader of the team. He's not. I don't know why this is not a discussion. All right, so it'd be really interesting to see what Quinn Snyder does now that Trae's got kind of the point back to himself, because DeJounte, that's not what he said. He said, well, we put a lot of value in Trae like we do in DeJounte. You mean the value of the guy you just traded? And, you know, we got hard choices. What the hell's that mean? That was like not exact. Okay. He didn't say Trey's on the team, did he? She asked, is Trae safe? Is he going to be on this team? He gave no answer to that. He didn't say yes. It's not what he said. It's what he didn't say. He didn't say yes. Let's go to Marcello here. Marcello or Marcello? Because it could go either way. Marcello. Marcello, welcome to the show.
Good morning, John. How are you doing today? Thank you for taking my call.
Good. Sure.
Hey, John, first I'd like to say I miss so much the morning show with John and Hugh. That was the best sports show on radio, and nothing will ever top that. So I just want to tell you how much I miss listening to you every morning.
Well, I appreciate that. Hugh is doing, I just update you, all of you, Hugh is doing very well. You may have heard him on Dukes and Bell, I think it was this week, and really well up in Philadelphia, and I'm glad that he's doing well. And so he's doing well, and all's good. All right, Marcelo, what you got?
That is fantastic. Well, I just like to say I'm a big Atlanta fan all the way around. I love the Braves. I love the Falcons, you know, hoping that this year they'll do something better. I'm very disappointed with the Hawks every year around because they can't seem to get it together. The whole upper level there can't seem to get it together to put a team competitive enough for everybody else. But on and on, I just wanted to shout out to my Brazil. I'm a Brazilian guy, and how bad my Brazil team has been in soccer this past couple of years. It's so embarrassing. And I don't know if you're a big soccer fan, but I just like, wanted to shout
Marcelo,
out.
It was like, yeah, you go back to, it's like that World Cup loss to Germany where they get beat 112-0. That thing is just hung over them for a decade or more.
Oh, yeah, and it's gone downhill ever since. I think that the legacy of Neymar, of just trying too much to show that he can do well, and the whole team has been following his path, and the entire team that's derailed. It's an embarrassment for the soccer of the caliber of Brazil has. So it's just embarrassing.
Yeah, well, I understand that, you know, it's been, and I appreciate it, Marcel. There's a lot of angst in Germany right now about the state of German soccer. And there's a lot of angst in the United States about the state of the American men's team. So, you know, I mean, Brazil and Germany are, you know, they were in the World Cup. I mean, that was the World Cup final. And now those two teams are kind of chasing, and they're well behind it. They're seeing England and France and the Dutch and others pass them by. They're seeing Uruguay and Argentina, you know, in their own continent. I mean, Uruguay, Argentina, Colombia, Chile. I mean, they're like, well, what's going on here? All right, let's get back to the Hawks and UGA today, because I do want to get more into this UGA story here, because I want to hear from you UGA fans about what the heck is going on and how do you solve this. Hey, Keith, let's go to Keith on Sports Radio 99 The Game. Keith, what's up?
Actually, it's Chief, but we'll roll with it.
Hey, Chief.
What's going on, Chap? I want to talk about the Hawks. Yeah, I want to get to a little Olympic talk, too. But first of all, with the Hawks, I'm watching the rookies last night. I was real impressed. I actually, when the Hawks made the trade with DeJounte, I gave Landry Fields a little credit, you know, because I could see what they were trying to do. I thought I could see what they were trying to do, trying to build around trade with a little defense and longer players. But with the comment he made, it made me feel like
he's thinking about training. I'm saying, as a Hawks fan, I don't think I can do it. I don't think I can put up with you trade another star away, because this city lacks stars as it is half the time, and then you want to trade the only star you have. I hope he's not going down that road. I really hope he's not going down that road. And
I want to talk, and again, without having to spend, because I really don't want to get down that rabbit hole for 3 hours again today here. We'll see what the Hawks are going to do here. But I wondered kind of aloud on Wednesday night if it wasn't intentional, you know, in terms of not just being able to look right into the camera and looking and talking to the microphones and look at the media and the fans of Atlanta and say, Trae Young's on this team. Because it's pretty easy to say, right? I mean, it's pretty easy to just look at the mics and say, Trae's on the team. He's the leader of the team. I don't know. He's under contract for 2 more years. We can put that to rest. Let's move on. And when he doesn't say it, is it being heard not necessarily by the media or the fans here in town, but is it intended, Chief, for the GMs around the league who all their antenna go up, Hawks are still interested in talking?
Yeah, that scares me, because, you know, you've been here as long as I have, and when they made that trade with Dominique years ago, that little bit of taste in my mouth. Man. But let me get to the Livings right quick. I know you got calls.
Basketball. The Dominique trade lived? Oh, you're talking about – I thought you were talking about when they got Dominique for John Drew. I was like, oh, no, you're talking about –
No.
Yeah, okay, I got you.
I got you, Chief.
I got it.
The Clippers.
Yeah.
But the Olympics, right quick. I don't know if you've been keeping up, but, you know, this Olympic team, and I hear a lot of the people going, well, we can just – like we're just going to waltz in and win the gold medal. I don't think so. And I call a couple – you know, the morning show this weekend, I told them the same thing. I think this team
that we
have
right now. Stop for a second, Chief. Chief, are we talking about men's basketball, women's basketball, track and field? What are you talking about?
Men basketball.
Okay.
I think we got nothing wrong with LeBron and KD and Joel Embiid and all these players when they're on their teams, but they're older, and the rest of the world, they're not afraid anymore. They're just not afraid. These players from Europe.
Well, there's other teams that are pretty bloody good too. I mean, have you seen the? I don't know. You could Google this or DuckDuckGo it or whatever you do. Just don't Bing, because Bing's terrible. Chief, the Canadian men's roster. Go look at Canada's men's team that's going to the Olympics. You look at that and you go, hey, you know what? That's pretty bloody good. I mean, it's SGA and R.G. Barrett, and it goes on and on and on. You're going, oh wow, that's a pretty darn good team. And then you go to, you know, a Bogey. Of course, it's only two guys, but when you got Jokic and you got Bogey Bogdanovic, that's a shooter and a big, and you're going, you know what? They're going to be a problem just because of Jokic and Bogey.
Yeah, I just think we're too old right now. I really think that team is too old, and they always hurt, like Embiid. He's always hurt. Something always wrong with KD. You see Kawhi Leonard bowed out. Then they bring in the other guy from Boston, which I never understand that move, because we need to get bigger, actually, because these European teams and these other teams, they're big. They're big and young.
Yeah, Giannis is in the Olympics. I appreciate it, Chief. 404-726-0929. And it'll be, I guess, interesting. I'll be perfectly frank. I probably won't watch the U.S. men's basketball team in the Olympics, unless they're playing for the gold medal. Otherwise, and that's not a slam against anything. It's the same way with women's basketball, kind of the same way with soccer, same way with tennis, same way with golf. Anything I can kind of watch outside the Olympics, you know, the Dream Team was sort of different, you know, because it was the first time. But when I can watch basketball anytime. For me, the Olympics is swimming, track and field, gymnastics, it's all those sports, and less about the stuff I can watch all the time. So I'll be much more interested in watching, you know, Simone Biles and watching watching Sakari and the track and field athletes, and watching Noah Lyles, than I will be in watching LeBron. I can watch LeBron anytime I want. But that's just me. Because that's kind of how I lock in on the Olympics. So when I'm on the Olympic channels, and, you know, when I'm doing shows here, I'm probably going to have to look at highlights going, oh, yeah, the men's team play, what do they do? Unless they get beat badly or embarrassingly, I probably won't be locked in on the men's. I'm not going to be, oh, the men's team's on there playing. No, I don't. I mean, watching LeBron play against Giannis, I could do that anytime. So, and there's so much to watch at the Olympics, I tend to watch the other sports. That's just, I'm just being honest with you. All right, break at the top of the hour. When we get back, we'll reset this because the big things that are coming this week, the All-Star Game, SEC Media Days, and, of course, what's going to happen with the Atlanta Hawks because they're on the clock, too. Don't get lost in the Olympics on Sports Radio 90 Time the Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Hey, fantasy football owners. The road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster. Wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.